This is an
ENN
special report. Now reporting.
Peter, you look very handsome.
ENN's at 6.
When the clock struck 6, it meant one thing.
I want to go chase the squall.
Peter has nothing interesting to say.
Now, from the ESPN New York News Desk, here's
Rosenbaum or whatever that guy's name is.
No wonder your show is number one.
Good evening and welcome to ENN. I'd like to start off ENN on this Monday evening by saying good evening to Michael.
Actually caught me with my mask on.
And I'd also like to say good evening to Don.
I am not looking to beat up anybody.
Thank you.
So really, smack your face dead.
Well, that might have been... It's very rare that an impression of a drop becomes a drop. But Don, that could have been one of those moments.
Very rare. I think it's never happened.
No, it has. Because Michael did impressions of his own drops, which did become drops before, I believe.
But is it an impression if it's impersonating yourself?
That's a good point, Don. Wow. I think we've gotten so meta here. I don't even
know. Yeah, like if Frank Caliendo imitated Frank Caliendo, would that be one of his impressions? I don't think so. Don brings up a great point.
Where do you guys want to start today? There's so much. You want to talk Odell first?
Let's go Odell. That intrigued me.
All right. Well, so Odell Beckham Jr., the story starts, essentially, earlier today. The Wall Street Journal ran a story, and in this story, they had quotes from Odell Beckham Jr. saying, obviously, with everything that's going on, it doesn't make sense why we're trying to do this. I can understand basketball was already in the playoffs. 5-on-5 basketball in an arena is going to be more intense than regular season games. Hooping is different than playing an 11-on-11 contact sport where there's 80 people in a locker room. We're not ready for football season, so why are we trying to push it forward? It's obviously for their money. And that bothers me because there's always been this, and I hate saying it's like that, but the owner's attitude is we own you guys. And just kind of that unfairness going on that they don't see us as human. I just feel like the season shouldn't happen, and I'm prepared for it not to happen, and I wouldn't mind not having it.
So opt out.
So it starts there.
So why doesn't he opt out?
Well, so far, I'm cool with everything so far.
So the more interesting piece was that the word is he was interviewed for that article 2 weeks ago. And according to sources in Cleveland, once he got to the facility and saw the way things looked in Cleveland, felt a lot more comfortable with the situation and does not feel this way still. But there's a lot that he said there that goes beyond concerns about COVID, right?
Well, I mean,
in terms of his view of owners,
but that's kind of the case, right?
You know,
they constantly tell us and how they care about player safety, and so we're going to eliminate the kickoff, and we're going to do this and that little rules. But oh, by the way, we're going to play every Thursday of the season. We're going to try to make it an 18-game schedule. So no, I have zero problem with anything he said,
Michael. I don't think you feel the same way.
Well, I don't have a problem with what he says. I mean, what he said was all legitimate. I mean, everybody in every walk of life, if they work and they earn a salary, that boss thinks they own you during your working hours. They just do.
But you see that there's a working relationship between the Players Association and the NBA. You see that there's a working relationship, obviously, in the NHL. And baseball was able to get something done, but... Let's face it,
Donald,
Michael, the NFL
owners, they agreed. They voted. They agreed
to
play.
I know.
Again, and if he doesn't like it, he doesn't have to play. That's the beauty of it. They gave him an out.
But in fairness to Odell, that was 2 weeks ago. That's before he reported to camp. You know, so he was looking at things and how he felt at that particular time. He probably didn't opt out because he wanted the opportunity to see how it was going to be. He goes to Cleveland. Wow, this is better than I thought it was going to be. So if he decided 2 weeks ago to opt out, he would have never gone to see the facility and saw that everything was okay. So I know Odell's sometimes difficult to get on board with, but on this one, he's got me.
The biggest problem is that the NFL owners are changing the opt-out date. And even Devin McCourty said what he said. I mean, that's the thing that's alarming. Devin McCourty said, I think it's an absolute joke the NFL is changing the opt-out period, mainly because they don't want to continue to see guys opt out. I think it's terrible. I think it's BS that the league has changed that date. Why were they allowed to change that date? That's what we should be complaining about.
Yeah.
Wasn't that collectively bargained? And I also love the opt-out thing. Let's say you're in camp. You pass the opt-out date, right?
Yeah.
And you're in camp. You know what? This isn't good. I'm out. Well, so you don't get your $350,000 stipend, which is just all that it is money that you're going to earn next year. They're going to take it out of your salary from next year.
And the interesting thing is, really, if you're going to opt out, the best time to really do it is after you see how things are. So you don't have an Odell situation where you opt out and then miss out on something where you feel like it's better.
So Odell feels comfortable, Don. The Jaguars have 12 players that tested positive. The Eagles coach tested positive. So while you're seeing if it's cool or not, you might test positive.
Yeah, but you want to see how your facility is. That's where you spend the majority of your time. You know, I just think that... I mean, a lot of players don't want to opt out. They do because they have to for family reasons. But would you want every bit of information before you make that kind of a decision?
Let's go back to Odell for a second. Lewis Riddick, the future voice of Monday Night Football, or one of those voices, spoke about the relationship between the Cleveland Browns and Odell Beckham Jr.
It would be important for me as the GM to take a player like Odell, who means so much to my football team, and say, hey, look, these are procedures and protocols that we have in place here at our training camp, in our building, in our meeting rooms, in our locker room, how we're going to feed the players. This is how we're going to take care of you.
So, interesting. Always, whenever you see Odell trending, you always have that moment of, where is this going to go? The Jets have released veteran guard Brian Winters. Survived three general managers, three head coaches, but it ended Sunday. He's 29 years old. He was the longest tenured player on the Jets. They took him in the third round of 2013. Played 89 games, started 79. His roster spot had appeared to be in jeopardy for the whole offseason. They'll save about $7.3 million in cash and cap space by cutting Winters. And, of course, over the weekend, guys, we learned that C.J. Mosley opting out. So this Jets team continues to look more and more different.
I'm surprised that the NFL owners, who are pretty sharp, put the opt-out in where you just shape-shift the contract. So now, when you thought you were going to pay, let's say, $15 million to a player who's 29, now you're going to pay $15 million to a player who's 30. See, players that opt out in baseball, that contract doesn't shape-shift over. It's over. So yeah. If you're in the second year of a 10-year deal, that's it. That second year is gone. You then pick up the third year. I'm surprised the NFL did it, which is such an age-centric league where you could change your ability in just 1 year, that they actually did that. And for a guy like Mosley, where that money's guaranteed, the Jets don't have a choice. They have to bring him back.
Yeah, if you think about it, it is odd, especially since you don't know what how the cap is going to change because of everything that's going on here. Like, I know Mike Tannenbaum didn't think it was going to change at all, but if we have a whole season with no fans, or if they have to cancel the season, Michael, what's that cap going to look like? It's a lot of money to lose.
Yeah, from what I'm hearing, Don, is that they're going to rob Peter to pay Paul, where they're going to keep the cap about the same so it doesn't drop drastically, but then that's going to affect future caps where it's supposed to go way up.
Now, the one break I think they get, Michael, because we found this out when the lockout of 2011, is they still get the money from television. So if there's no season, I think that Fox and NBC and CBS still have to pay.
No, but they don't. But that will shape shift. Then they'll just get the next year. I mean, no, they won't pay for nothing. That's just not true. They might have to pay to keep the NFL in money, but that they will get a year free then.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
One thing you could say about Leonard Williams is he is durable. He has never missed a game due to injury during his first six seasons with the Jets and now the Giants. However, he will start this season, right now at least, with a minor hamstring injury. The Giants designated him. Of course, Williams is their highest paid player, $16.2 million due in salary. On the franchise tag for the non-football injury list. Now, this is supposedly more of a semantics and logistics transaction. He's been dealing with a sore hamstring during his entrance physical. They already knew that. So that is just where he is right now. But again, hopefully he'll be fine by the time the season starts. But for a player who's not regarded as one who's injury prone at all, this move did stand out a bit. Michael, you love the Leonard Williams moving.
It just gets better every day.
Or worse.
That's right.
It's one of the most inexplicable deals that any GM has ever made, when you could have had him for nothing. I mean, other than money, and you wouldn't have. If he was on the free agent market, there's no way he's getting $16.1 million. They gave him leverage like you wouldn't believe, because they gave up two draft picks for a guy that they could have gotten as a free agent. It was an awful deal for a guy who's a decent player, but he's not an impact player.
Somehow we have not gotten to mention this all day, and Michael, this is a subject that's ripe with conversation between you and Don. It could take us for the final 7 minutes of the show.
Interesting.
Well, we talked about the Nets and what would really benefit them with this 8-game startup restart for the NBA. And Sunday, it came down to the Nets and the Wizards. And what did the Nets do? They stuck a dagger right in the Wizards' playoff hopes, and right, really, in NBA draft lottery hopes. A 118-110 victory over the Wizards all but assures they will make the playoffs.
The Post had one of the great headlines I've ever seen today on that game. Because the Nets have none of their regular players. So the headline was, "Nobody's beat the Wiz."
Wow, perfect. That is very good.
Wow.
For a certain age, it's money.
It's money.
That's, unfortunately, that's beautiful.
The Wizards are in the exact same situation that Brooklyn's in. So you could have had two teams trying to tank. Somebody's got to win the game.
Well, I mean, they are so bereft of talent, though. I mean, no John Wall, no Bradley Beal, the guy that opted out because he was going to be a free agent. They're worse than the Nets.
Right.
I mean, it would have been impossible to lose to them, although they got off to an 11-0 start.
It would have been so hard because, again, the players on the court are going to want to do well. And you got a coach that's auditioning. So with that combination and how depleted the Wizards were, you know, it was inevitable the Nets were going to win. Now I don't know if the Nets will win again, and it may not matter.
Well, how far can you get with Caris LeVert, Joe Harris, and Jared Allen, essentially? That's what you're looking at in the Nets. More Cardinals have tested positive for coronavirus in a situation that continues to be interesting, to say the least, for Major League Baseball. Let's hear from our very own, one of our favorites here, Jeff Passan on ESPN Radio, talking about how the Cardinals, Marlins, and Phillies won't play 60 games this year.
They've played only 5 games this season, and I don't anticipate they're going to be playing again anytime soon. Their next game is scheduled for tomorrow against the Detroit Tigers. They're not even in Detroit at this point, and the notion that there's going to be a Tuesday game between the Cardinals and Tigers, it's just not particularly realistic. It wouldn't shock me to see their Wednesday doubleheader canceled either. And at that point, we're talking about teams that are going to have played 12 games, maybe 13, and the Cardinals will have played 5. It is not a doomsday scenario, but it's one of those things that MLB has to grapple with and figure out what it's going to do, because there's just no way that the Cardinals or the Marlins or the Phillies are going to play 60 games this season.
And Michael, there will not be a game on the East Coast tomorrow, because this hurricane is going to wipe them all out.
Yeah.
So that's even more postponements. They're going to have to do what you said. They're going to have to go with winning percentage. Now, that may not be fair, though. Because obviously the team that plays, you know, less games might, you know, have a, more of an advantage with their, depending on that, what kind of start they have and all that. But what else are you going to do?
And there are teams that are going to be, like in 1972, I think, I'm just rounding the numbers off because there was a strike that year. The Tigers were 86-50. Let's just say it's that. And the Red Sox were 85-50, and the Tigers made the playoffs and the Red Sox didn't. And there was no social media and outrage then. Imagine if that happens now.
And
they're going to have a lot of people really chapped.
And we've been so concerned, and we fought the good fight with a lot of people, including Chris Carlin, that still believes that there is a championship to be won that means something. But, Michael, does it get to a point if it ends up being winning percentage and superstars aren't playing and teams are winning games against basically minor league teams or teams fall out because they've got six doubleheaders in 12 days? Is that going to make the season look illegitimate, more so than the pandemic itself? And the fact that there's only 60 games.
I believe the pronunciation here is Tropical Storm Isaias. How do you feel about that?
No, there's another syllable. I think it's Isais.
Yeah, I think that might be. Ooh. Or it could be Thibodeau. Or it could be Thibodeau.
The Thibodeau.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Tom Thibodeau.
That's not it either.
That's the proper. I've spoken to members of his family. Doug Peterson, Eagles head coach,
sure,
tested positive for COVID-19.
Oh, no.
He's asymptomatic. He's supposedly doing well. But he had a meeting on Sunday and informed his players. I'm assuming it was a Zoom meeting. But yeah, so Doug Peterson is going to be on the shelf for a little while. Anthony, did I make up that we have audio related to that? Let's hear from Shefty on Peterson.
You've got a situation here where a head coach in season, in training camp, tests positive twice. And they send home Press Taylor, their quarterback's coach, because he's had exposure to Doug Peterson. And you wonder about the other people that have been in the building. Now, again, it's a head coach. So this changes things. Is it 10 days, 2 weeks before he's well? And first and foremost, you hope he's okay. That's the biggest thing, right? I think Doug Peterson is in his 50s, and let's hope he's okay. The sense right now is that he's doing well. And as long as everything's there, then you move on to the football standpoint. But from that standpoint, just a complicating factor. I just think it just shows you that every team in the league, just like in basketball and baseball and hockey, has to be prepared to deal with the unexpected. And it could mean losing your head coach the first couple of weeks of training camp. It could mean losing a quarterback the day before a game.
What we're looking at, guys, this is the reality of sports in 2020.
Here's my prediction. This will be the longest training camp in the history of the NFL. Because I could totally see them postponing and just continuing camp.
Well, guys, it's been special. That'll do it for ENN on Monday evening.
All right, we're back tomorrow at 3. A lot more stuff to talk about. Be good, everybody. Basketball's coming up next. Remember, the Yankees on Yes Tonight. See ya.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.